The president is hard at work creating jobs. Since he was first elected, the number of popes has doubled.
All right, a little comedy in Washington. Boy, we could all use a little funny, couldn't we? It was the correspondence dinner. Conan O'Brien hosting it and ribbing the president, obviously, there. That's part of the whole thing, pretty much what you do at the correspondence dinner. So there were some pretty good funny jokes, I think, along the way. I saw a big chunk of it. And we're going to let you hear some of that as we weave in and out of a couple of different things here to start off the week on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. You know what's funny? For the first time in my life, I went into one of those 99-cent stores. You know what I'm talking about. They call it, like, Dollar Tree, Dollar Store. There's a whole bunch of them. And I have friends that swear by it. Why are you going to get whatever, XYZ? Why do you get thread from the store where they charge you $3? Why don't you go to the 99-cent store? And then I found out that Dave Gold, who was the founder of those stores, died a billionaire over the weekend. He was the guy who made the whole concept popular, and it just exploded. I guess there's like 300 shops that went all the way from California to Texas and other places, too. He had a heart attack, but he was 80 years old, and I guess he was a freak for all kinds of knickknacks and stuff, and he wanted them to fall off the truck, so to speak. So he wanted them to be cheaper. But and I didn't realize this, the first 99-cent store opened in Los Angeles in 1982. So it was stuff that people didn't want anymore. Remember the Misfit Island? You know, the Christmas, the Grinch Who Stole Christmas? You know, in the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, they have the Misfit Island. Am I right about that? No, that's Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman, they have Misfit Island. Well, the 99-cent stores were kind of like the Misfit Island. Just a retail graveyard is probably the best way. So broken things, things that expired, things that people didn't want would go on sale in these, and they would plop them in these stores. But, man, I didn't realize what a little gold mine that is cruising around there. Matt Johnson, I can only imagine, you know, you like to save up your money for the ladies and for some brew here and there. So are you a fan of the dollar store? Do you go to the dollar stores? He's not answering me. He's like, what are you talking about? That means he's shunning me. He wants nothing to do with this conversation when I say that. Anyway, it's funny because I just happened to be in there for the first time, and then I realized, I saw the story about the guy who was really the person who pioneered it, died over the weekend from a heart attack, but died a billionaire because the concept really took off. And it's for things, I guess, because people would realize there were things that were on sale there. You were getting almost the same exact thing someplace else. So why were you paying, you know, three, four, however much more for that stuff? All right. Over the weekend, there were new revelations about the bombers and the bomber's mother and whether or not she radicalized her children. You know, so much of the focus has now been on the family. So what was going on with the family when they were back in, when they went back to Russia, where they were back in Chechnya? What was it that led to, which is what everybody's trying to figure out, I say everybody, but, you know, lawmakers, journalists, etc. What is it that ultimately led to the downfall of Tamerlan and his brother, who now, of course, is in custody? What was it that pushed them to the point of planting these bombs, these pressure cooker bombs, at the Boston Marathon and then going on the crazy rampage that they went on and how it all ended it up? You know, people are trying to talk about, do they have training and were they a part of these, you know, Islamic jihadist training camps? Likely, how were they radicalized? And the mother of the bombing suspects is much more anti-American than even her sons were portrayed to be. And they, people have now dug up some of this stuff where she talked about a lot of the theories behind 9/11 and plots against Muslims excuse me, and some other things that include some recordings of somebody that she was talking to in Russia on an unrelated thing where she was mentioning that she was anti-American and that everything is lies and hypocrisy in that country and she's sick of it and whatnot. So the mother is somebody who was anti-American, excuse me, and kind of radicalized herself. And perhaps this is what now the theory is that may have led to some of what's gone on with the two sons when they went back to the U.S. and when Tamerlan ultimately went back to Dagestan for 6 months and all that kind of stuff. So there's a whole bunch of theories out there. But I think the worst thing that I've found out so far, and all of us know this now at this point, is the fact that Tamerlan, the older brother of the Snardevs, the older brother is the one who was on food stamps. So he's on food stamps. His wife is working 80 hours. He has a little kid. And he's taking taxpayer money. All the while he's going to fireworks stores, getting all this powder and getting things ready for what would ultimately be the bombing of the marathon. And apparently, Tamerlan Snarnoff and his brother had also intended to go to Times Square and do something similar. Then we have all the warnings from Russia that Tamerlan was a follower of radical Islam who had changed drastically since 2010. So then, you know, all the pieces now are starting to kind of fall into place. It's like you can imagine an FBI bulletin board. It's like a wild jigsaw puzzle where we're just trying to put them together as to who started the jihad with Tamerlan. What led to this? What things are the FBI investigating? And how come it still comes back to that question? How come we didn't have that intel? How come we didn't have the right kind of intel when now all this stuff is popping out right and left? You know, Tamerlan's living in Russia for 6 months in 2010, and he's accused ultimately of, you know, when he comes back, he's accused of a couple of different things, including perhaps even shoplifting is what they're talking about. So, and then there may be another brother perhaps involved and somebody else who had a big influence on the two. So this is kind of, it's kind of all over the map. It is like that wicked jigsaw puzzle that we just want to know the pieces. All right, speaking of the pieces, we're really starting to nail that when it comes to Syria. And the question I think this week that's really going to be hammered on the Hill, is getting involved with Syria and saying that, okay, now we have evidence of chemical weapons and that's a threat, and that's a threat to the United States. So I think we need to do something because they got a stockpile of weapons that could be an even bigger threat after Assad leaves. Could it ultimately end up targeting Americans at home? Would this be where these weapons would end up? But should we send military forces, boots on the ground, into Syria based on some of the stuff that we're now learning? Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning blue ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. 'Cause baby, won't you look at you now?
In a couple of different directions, like I said at the top, I use those same exact words. You know, it's like the crookedest street in the world. You're going from side to side. It's so exciting. You just don't know where you want to go next. That, by the way, is in San Francisco. Can anyone tell me the name of that street? So time for a little odds and ends, because there were some crazy stories that I caught up with over the weekend. You might have heard this one. You want to talk about a huge blunder. I would hate to be the warden here. A computer glitch at a Maryland prison made a ton of jail cell doors simultaneously unlock. Yeah, hundreds of cells unlock. It happened on Saturday and it happened on Tuesday. So they have a computer controlled system. It's the Montgomery County Correctional Facility, and it allows the officers to unlock all of them in case of a fire, which that they have to have that ability. So they have 650 inmates at the jail, and none of the 650 ran out of their cells. There was no disturbance, none of that kind of stuff. Guess they don't know anything about Oz. Remember that show? That's a reference to that. So anyway, the police in the area were called in to surround the building in case there was some kind of an emergency. And what they did was the cells were just manually locked within an hour, and they can't figure out the source of the computer glitch. Boy, this is scary, the stuff that happened in the computer age, right? So everything is computerized, and when the computers go down, what happens? Like malfunctioning jail locks. I say that's a big foul. Who's ever running that? It's just like it's like American Airlines. Sabre does their computer, so they screw up, something gets screwed up in the software, and people can't take off on time. And they basically are grounding hundreds of American airline planes. This happened, a week and a half ago. And here, another computer malfunction, jail cells opening up. And how interesting is it that none of the inmates, none of them, decided that they were going to take a walk? Because I guess they figured, well, we're not going to escape anyway. They got tape all over the place here. They got cameras on us. So what are we going to do? Are we going to all of a sudden riot, boom, on the spot? They didn't. They decided they weren't going to do that. But there was worries about that, so that's why they had to surround it. But the big thing is the computer glitch. And if you work there, wouldn't you be looking over your shoulder? Wouldn't you be thinking, wow, I mean, we can't even nail this. We don't even know what happened here. So we're going to be looking over our shoulders a little bit. I would be looking over my shoulder a little bit. All right, he's not looking over his shoulder, but he's looking for an apology. The Texas governor, Rick Perry, said he's sickened by a California newspaper that ran a cartoon that depicted him boasting about booming business in Texas, then showed an explosion a week after a fertilizer plant explosion, of course, killed 14 people in West Texas. So he said it was wrong and disgusting and everything else. He wants an apology from the Sacramento Bee. It was a Thursday cartoon. I looked it up, and it's exactly what I described. Business is booming, low tax, low regs. Because, of course, now that's what people are saying. Yeah, there's no regulation in Texas, and look what happened with this fertilizer plant, and that exploded April 17th. It left that crater about 90 feet wide and, of course, $100 million in damage or so. And the explosion happened after the fire was reported. And unfortunately, the sad story from there continues to be that 10 of the people killed were first responders who rushed to try to put out the fire. And then, tragically, were in the middle of that. And just last week, at the tail end of the week, the president was there. Of course, the governor was there. They had a memorial service for the explosion victims at Baylor University. By the way, back to the newspaper thing, the editorial page director said that the artist was just making a strong statement about Governor Perry's disregard for worker safety and his attempts to market Texas as a place where companies, industries can thrive with few regulations. So I don't think they're going to apologize for that cartoon. And California, excuse me, has definitely not been happy with the governor of Texas anyway, because he's been to California, and he ran radio ads were run with his name, saying that California's taxes and regulation, all that stuff, how ridiculous it is, wanted to come to Texas. He even recruited jobs. He even went out there and recruited jobs, and he did that in Chicago last week. So he's done it in California, and he's done it in California, and so there's some sensitivity there anyway. But the West fertilizer plant blowing up and the dig from the Sacramento Bee, like I said, they're not apologizing anytime soon. It goes to whether it's bad taste or poor form or not, but if you look at political cartoons, I mean, the gloves are off. You can Google Obama and cartoons, and you'll see all kinds of stuff. You can Google any president. You can Google Bush, whoever, whatever politician. I mean, that's part of the deal. The idea is to be cutting and sarcastic and play off of whatever the headlines are. So the paper knows, listen, we're not going to lose any of our subscribers because of this. Very doubtful. So we've got this cartoonist who says something edgy for a reason to prove a point, and we have a sensitivity in California. So in the fair and foul column, I'm going to shock a few people and say, you know, if I'm a cartoonist, I don't touch that. But it's fair as far as what they do for a living and, you know, the jokes, that's how it's supposed to be. That's political cartooning. It's gonna get under some people's skin, and it got under the governor's skin for sure. Hey, speaking of California, here's a real foul for you. I go from fair with the cartoonist to, and you might disagree, by the way. You can always give me a jingle. You know, your opinion counts here. 855-266-5283. The thing that's interesting that I say is foul in California is this Chinese electric car maker is going to start manufacturing electric buses in California on Wednesday, and the reason is they're going to qualify for a federal subsidy. So BYD's is the name of the company. They're not going to necessarily bring a boatload of jobs to California, but they're going to get a cut. They're going to be able to sell their buses at a markdown, and then we'll foot the bill for the rest. That's like 80% per bus. And they're saying that the company's U.S. manufacturing plant meets Buy American's guidelines so they can get government help. So Long Beach Transit, which is, that's where a lot of the buses are coming out of, south of Los Angeles, they're going to buy 10 of them, for example. That's $12.1 million. So half of the cost is going to be paid with federal money, and the rest will be paid from state money. That seems like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Normally, it would be more cost-effective to build the buses in China and ship them to the United States, but they say it was more, the BYD's move was more of a marketing gimmick than anything else. I'm going to say baloney. It might have been a marketing gimmick, but it's definitely about getting the money. Come on, give me a break. I mean, is there a market for all electric buses in the United States? It's got to be pretty small, but still. I mean, how many a year are sold? However, at least in this case, it's a zero-sum game for them because they do gain the publicity. They gain the money, too. And maybe they are going to be able to compete against conventional diesel buses. And then they'll be able to get more subsidies, and that means we'll be paying for more of that. And guess what they do? BYD makes batteries for mobile phones and solar power storage. Yep, there we go again with green initiatives. Nothing wrong with green initiatives if only they were directed in the right places. So a Chinese car maker gets the biggest laugh at the bank, and plus he gets the marketing on top of that to look good, especially to a market like California, where they probably end up buying more of those buses, and it's certainly to his advantage. All right, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Syria a little bit more, and the weapons and some of the reactions to that as to whether or not we need to be all in when it comes to Assad and his regime. In other words, do we need to get him now and stop laying in the weeds? Hang with us.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV three times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388. Or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What do you do when your government is engaged in unconstitutional acts? And what should you do when our elected officials fail to uphold their oath to protect we the people from foreign and domestic enemies? Hello, fellow patriot. I'm Pastor Broden of the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, and we have discovered a constitutional answer to these questions. The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This story makes me sweat. It makes me sweat before we get into the whole, actually the sarin weapons, chemical weapons make me sweat too, but this really makes me sweat. Anybody out there kind of iffy on the heights thing? You know, you just will climb up whatever and you're parachute down, you don't care. Or you do the zip line from the top of the Empire State Building, if you could. And it's funny, Empire State Building is a place that I've spent some time as a kid. I can remember going up there a bunch of times. I got engaged, actually, in the top of the Empire State Building. A man fell from the observation deck Wednesday night. I didn't even realize this. I thought it was a hoax when someone sent me a little line about that. But he landed on a catwalk one floor below. In my mind, I can't remember that catwalk, but I'd have to go through all the edges of the building to think about it. His name is Nathan Simone, a guy from Massachusetts, and he climbed a security gate around 11:30 before falling off the edge of the observation deck. And tourists were watched. They were seeing him and saw him land just that one floor below. So he jumped from the 86th floor, lands on the catwalk right below it between the two 86th and 85th floors. And then he kind of straddled the edge of the catwalk as if he was going to jump from it, but the security guards got him. So what was he doing? Was he trying to kill himself? No. Was he playing some kind of a trick or trying to do some kind of a stunt? He had a broken ankle. They took him to Bellevue Hospital because that's immediately what they're thinking. They don't really know if it was intentional or not. They're still not saying if it was or not. They say that he was just calmly looking down like it was nothing, but it's 80 stories high. So here's the deal. Whatever his intent was, he's now going to have to face charges. What do you think the charges are? Reckless endangerment, criminal trespass, disorderly conduct. You know, over the years, and I didn't realize this, about 30 people have jumped off the Empire State Building. So they put a fence. I knew this because I was up there and saw it. Have seen the fence. That's why I couldn't remember. How could this guy get through there? A fence was put up around the terrace. They did that in 1947 because five people tried to jump during a three-week span. And, there was one famous one in 1947, that same year, a 23-year-old jumped to her death from the 86th floor, landed on a United Nations limousine that was parked at the curb. And, of course, there was a shot that somebody snapped, a photography student snapped, that every once in a while, I mean, you can look it up. It was pretty famous. It's pretty well known. And that's why they put that, that's why they put that fence up there. So when you go to the top, you see that fence. I mean, you can see around the fence and everything. But, boy, that would be crazy to look up and see that. There have been a couple of things lately that have happened around the Empire State Building, but it made me think of the whole heights thing. And if he was that calm, to me, I'm thinking he was trying to jump. I mean, I don't know that, but the fact that he just was peaceful with the whole thing, it wasn't like imagine if you slipped, how panicked you would feel. And they're saying there was no look of panic about him whatsoever. All right, so the other thing that would get me a little worried would be chemical weapons in the United States, for goodness sake. I mean, if there's any possibility of that. And, of course, after 9/11, there were a lot of thoughts of how would a terrorist attack, another terrorist attack happen here. Remember, crop dusters, use chemicals, that kind of thing, put something in the water system. So the Republicans especially, they were all over the Sunday political head talking shows saying that the president has to stick with his vow to take action if Syria crosses a red line by using chemical weapons on people. And now there's evidence, but they warned about sending in guys, troops, women, sending troops in. So the president says, here's our line, right? And we got to do something about this. But let's not put any people on the ground. You know, the numbers are kind of in dispute as to how many people have died in this two-year war, but they're all horrific numbers. Supposedly it's more than 70,000 people have been killed. Hundreds of thousands of people, naturally, in that situation, when you're getting gassed, or some people are getting gassed or shot, and just they come up to you and shoot you in the head or whatever. So hundreds of thousands of people, of course, are displaced. So Senator Saxby Chambliss told Face the Nation that we can't sit on the sidelines and do nothing. We can't do this. This is a huge mistake. John McCain would agree with him, the senator from Arizona, saying that, listen, and he's been critical from the beginning. Why are we doing this? So here's the thing. Really, are we going to consider invading Syria? Would we really put boots on the ground? I mean, how much money would we pour over this whole thing? Or is it wrong not to do that? Is it wrong to just sit here and watch these atrocities on this crazy scale that we haven't seen in I don't know how long? I mean, we could point to the Sudan, we could point to other regions, another like Rwanda, but we didn't do anything there. So of all the hopscotch we're doing all over the Middle East, are we going to really get involved here? Are we going to use missiles, helicopter attacks? What are we going to do? This is what they're doing. This is what Assad's regime is doing. They're using those things. They're using helicopters. They're using missiles. They're shooting people in the head. They're shooting them through the walls of their house. And, it's nothing but ugly. So I think the worst thing, the absolute worst thing we could do is put troops in there. Is there other things that we could do? I mean, what about if you overthrow Assad, then who jumps in for Assad? I mean, Assad needs to go, no question about that. But who ultimately jumps in there? And then if there are chemical weapons, what are they doing with the chemical weapons? And this is the theory of, okay, now we really believe there's these chemical weapons. We have evidence of it. But what happens to the weapons? Now, Lindsey Graham says the U.S., if we had people there, would be able to safeguard the weapons, right? Could they do that? And could we safeguard the weapons without a ground force? But the idea of how many are we talking about and who could possibly get them? And of course, Lindsey Graham has no problem trotting this out. He says, you know, the next bomb that goes off in America might not have nails and glass. It could be chemical. It could be a chemical weapon that we're talking about. And the assessment that Syria used chemical weapons, by the way, is not just the U.S.'s conclusion. You have Israel saying that. You have Qatar saying this. You have France. You have Britain saying that. And there are people itching for an aggressive reaction to what's happening in Syria. I mean, we're doing humanitarian aid and non-lethal support to the opposition. But you know, the other question keeps rearing back up is, who is the who would you arm? Who's the opposition? Who's the opposition that we would want? Meaning we, the rest of the world. And what does if these weapons are here, one of the main places producing chemical weapons that they're talking about is heavily guarded. It's a military base, and sarin, that lethal nerve gas, is supposedly what they're manufacturing in a town that's outside of Aleppo, and they say it's just another unbelievable thing that Assad has done, and they're really pumping materials through there and out of there, if that's true. Oh, you think of a chemical arsenal. And how much, what are the quantities? That's what I would want to know. What are the quantities of the weapons that we're talking about? And there is no answer to that, but the grim possibility of it. Oh, I mean, you're done. Of course, forget about it. I mean, it is definitely a line that has been crossed. No question about that. But how far are we willing to go? How far are we willing to jump in and take the lead on this? Syria didn't sign the International Chemical Weapons Convention. They never have declared any details of the stockpiles to anybody. But what the intelligence says is that they have even warheads, like maybe 200 warheads filled with sarin for Scud missiles, and thousands of chemical artillery bombs filled with sarin. Ooh, nobody knows for sure. Nobody even knows for sure the exact amounts at this plant, other than they have secret storage spaces for safekeeping, supposedly, and whatnot. So how many troops would it require? Think of what it would take to go into Syria. You'd probably be talking about 70,000, 75,000 troops. Oh, man. Do we really want to do that? Justin Danhof is on the case again. Boy, he is going hard and fast after Honeywell. He's going to tell you why coming up next in our weekly re-rack here on America Tonight.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. visit utopiasilver.com, UTOPIASilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It really Earth Week, but certainly Earth Day comes and goes, and one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is green energy and some of the crazy breaks on green energy and things that you don't know as far, things you don't know about as far as some of the hypocrisies out there. So Justin Danhof, who we've had on the show many, many times, who actually told us that this was in the wings for him, but he's the general counsel and director of the Free Enterprise Project, went and decided that he was going to confront Honeywell, and part of the reason for that is what was going on with stimulus money and how was it spent, because there was $25 million from your pocket and mine, so to speak, all of us, the pool of taxpayer money, to create how many jobs? Justin, how many jobs were created?
A whopping 10, which makes it a good round number to do the math, and that equates to $2.5 million out of your pocket and mine, or 10 for each job created. So here's another, the Obama administration math adding up to work over the taxpayer.
That's absolutely crazy. What was it specifically, what was it earmarked for? It was some kind of plant that was supposed to be built in Hawaii, is that right?
Yeah, so this money came from the president's stimulus plan, which, you know, was, of course, his first major legislative accomplishment, if you want to call it accomplishment, which I don't. And this money came from the same grant program that was run through the Department of Energy that brought us the likes of Solyndra, Fisker, A123 Systems. And while we were investigating this grant program, we were kind of curious and scratching our heads at why Honeywell, an established company, was on the list receiving a $25 million grant, when most of the companies that received these grants were more along the lines of startups or younger companies that were solely focused on some green energy endeavor. while Honeywell is certainly in the energy field, they're no spring chicken, and they do very, very well financially, and they have over the last few years. So this seemed to be an unnecessary taxpayer gift to a financially stable company, which makes it all the more interesting that in 2010 they get this grant. They promised it would create 85 construction jobs, and it would start at 40 permanent jobs a year and grow from there once the plant was totally finalized. And it was going to be a biofuels plant on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. Well, fast forward to 2012, a local paper, the Honolulu Civil Beat, does something that is, you know, a bygone era. They do actual investigative journalism. And they go to the site. They find a poultry shop and 10 total workers. And you have to laugh or you cry with this outcome. And so yesterday I traveled up to New Jersey where the annual, Honeywell shareholders meeting was being held. And I confronted David Cote with this and I said, is there anything in this Honolulu Civil Beat report you would like to, correct? Is there any misinformation in here or is it entirely accurate? And since the report was issued in 2012, have you, it's April, have you created any new jobs yet this year? And he said he refused to update any numbers, said he had no new numbers, and that he was totally comfortable with the work Honeywell was doing in Hawaii. So just digest that for a minute. We have a CEO of a major international corporation that is comfortable stealing, and I don't use that word lightly, stealing $25 million from the taxpayers on a promise of, you know, hundreds of total jobs being created and only creating 10. He is sorely out of touch with the American people, and he might be out of touch with reality if he thinks that that's an okay thing to do.
Boy, no kidding. And was there any reaction? Because, of course, there's other people that are obviously there. Did anyone react to your questions? I know I certainly would have looked up.
Yeah, afterwards, many shareholders came up and said, you know, thank you. This, and the reason they said thank you is very simple. Somebody has to hold these corporations accountable, right? So the Obama administration takes your money and my money, and they play with it like it's monopoly money. They act like an investment banker when they have no expertise in it. They pick winners and losers, but no matter who they pick, the taxpayer always loses. So they spend our money willy-nilly, and they won't hold the companies accountable because they don't want to admit that their green energy ventures are failing. So they cover it up, they deflect, they say that, you know, not all these companies are doing badly, and the companies, of course, aren't going to self-account for their own failures, so they're not going to be held accountable by themselves or by the administration that gives them the money. So it truly is left up to shareholders, citizens, and the media. These are the last bastions to hold these companies accountable when they seek taxpayer funds and don't deliver on promises. And do I think that, you know, Honeywell is going to come out tomorrow and give a full accounting of where every one of those dollars, of those $25 million went? Absolutely, I don't. But you know what? I'm on here talking about it with you tonight. The Dow Jones Newswire wrote something this morning saying, hey, you didn't answer Justin's question, Mr. Cote, CEO of Honeywell. We'd like an answer, too. So did the Washington Examiner. So if we get a little bit of a groundswell going in here, maybe we can start holding, you know, more than just myself, we can hold these CEOs, their feet to the fire a little bit. And maybe they won't give the full accounting, but maybe next time the Obama administration is just throwing our money around without care, Honeywell will think twice. And they'll think, huh, this was kind of a public relations nightmare last time we did it. We have the money ourselves. Let's make our own investment. We don't need the taxpayer money.
Yeah, and I'm going to challenge everybody listening to America Tonight to write a letter to the CEO of Honeywell, and I'm going to put the address on our website, americatonight.net. Let's hold their feet to the fire. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're drowning in debt, and we're giving a company that has plenty of do-re-mi, we're giving them a $25 million grant. How does the U.S. Department of Energy screen who they're giving the money to? I guess you sort of answered that. You did answer that by saying they don't hold them accountable, and then if they just approve whatever it is that you say you're going to do as far as the green standards are concerned, then if you get the grant, you get the grant, and that's the end of it. Is that pretty much what you've seen?
But, I mean, that's precisely it. And, you know, you ask, you know, who gets these grants? Well, it's no coincidence that David Cote, CEO of Honeywell, was a member of the Simpson-Bowles Debt Commission, which, of course, in reality, came up with a few decent ideas on reducing the debt. But, of course, since they were decent ideas, they were rejected by this current administration. But what that did was gave him a good seat at the table, and, you know, he could have a nice lunch every once in a while with the president. And lo and behold, he gets $25 million. This morning, we had another representative of the National Center at Exelon shareholder meeting in Baltimore. And we had her confront the CEO of Exelon because they got $200 million in pure stimulus grant money for a project that they were already doing and already budgeted. So this just goes on and on because a board member of Exelon happens to be President Obama's basketball buddy. His name's John Rogers. So, you sit back and you think, you know, Justin, what's the deal with $25 million? Well, add that $25 million from Honeywell to $200 million from Exelon to $528 million from Solyndra to hundreds of millions to A123 Systems, and the hits just keep on coming for us taxpayers.
Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story is if you know somebody in the White House and you come up with something, even if it's cockamamie as far as green is concerned, you may have a good chance to get a grant. I mean, this isn't even picking. This is right there. And this is low-hanging fruit. It's easy to pick this off of the branch, isn't it?
It's so easy for these companies, and especially, you know, these larger companies. They have learned well how to game the system. The system is set up with this dual power at the top of, you know, crony capitalism involved in politics and politics, you know, returning the favor. And we see it time and time again. And the taxpayer always ends up on the short end of the stick. And it's really up to us. It has to be a groundswell movement to stop it, because when you've got the top corporate leaders and you've got the top politicians, you know, kind of colluding together in this sense to rob us all blind, it's up to us to stop it, because they're you know, the most powerful government in the free world and some of the most powerful corporations in the free world doing this together. So it's really up to the folks to have a groundswell movement to get it to end. And like I said, I think the best way to do it is through making it a public relations nightmare for these companies to act in this way.
Yeah, because they don't want that. They don't want anyone to peek behind the curtain. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Justin Danhof, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, Kate, have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid gland? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off your teeth both as a vapor and as metal particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione, the number one superfood that helps turn on all 75 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh, raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.